Last week, we were in the third week of Ordinary Time. We celebrated Word of God Sunday because we are hearing just the power of that word. That word of God is on display early in this calendar year as we see the work of Jesus begin. We've seen it. He has called out to Andrew, Peter, James, and John, come follow me. And they dropped everything. They followed. We saw it last week, even with Jonah. He was so resistant of the word of God, but those evil Ninevites responded to the word. Even the whale responded and spit Jonah up on that shore. The power of God's word is on display early in Mark's gospel. And today it continues, but in a more dramatic way. Up to this point, all of this word has been spoken outside, by the shore, outside of any building. Today's different. We're still in chapter 1. It's still the word of God. There's only one Jesus. And he speaks now in the synagogue, inside, in this place of teaching, in this place of authority, this place where people would normally come to hear the word of God. And they do hear it in this synagogue of Capernaum. And in hearing it, it's not just they that hear it, but it's the evil spirits. We see that this power affects not just human beings with ears, but even the demons. That's different. And then we are introduced to this new reality in Mark's gospel. It's a reality that exists today. To be honest, it's like a character in the scriptures. It's a dangerous character. The crowd. Interesting stuff here. We're not even 20 verses into the first chapter. And the word of God is so effective. It's on display in such a dramatic way. And the people today, they say, what is this? He speaks a new teaching with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, that word authority, I like to think of it as a dirty word. When I grew up, there was a dirty curse word beginning with A. I think today, the dirty word in our culture is authority. And quite frankly, it's because we've experienced so much harm from authority. The abuse of authority has done quite a number on us. And it's almost in every area. And whenever we experience that, that has an effect. And it's never good. Authority is meant to help us. It's meant to guide us. It's meant to help us be more free. But so often in our experience, it harms. I think of an easy example. Do you ever get taken by a bad car mechanic? What happens? You get a little ticked. You go within yourself a little bit. You don't trust who you bring your car to anymore. Well, that's just a little example, right? But what happens when that's your doctor? What happens when that's a teacher? I remember I had this one teacher who I really didn't like. You know, and at the end of the class, you know, we kind of were accusing her of, like, you know, all sorts of things. And I remember she said, do you really believe that? And one of my classmates said, we don't know what to believe anymore after this class. A class, a teacher that was meant to bring clarity and wisdom, maybe through her own, you know, faults or whatever, and our faults too, as students. It just created more divide. When that happens from the church, we know the harm that that does in a dramatic way. And isn't it interesting that Jesus finds himself like in the church today for the first time, the synagogue, and it's here that he meets the demon. It's here that he meets the crowd. And so often, through the hurts, the abuse, through the misunderstandings, through the crimes, the authority of the church has been diminished, big time. And there's reasons for that, but there's a sadness of that. Welcome to the culture in which we're in. Who leads us? Who do we listen to? Who do we trust? Authority. It's often not a pleasant word today. And yet, here's Jesus. And he comes into that synagogue and he's speaking with a different type of authority. There's some Greek words here in Matthew, in Mark that I find to be just like beautiful. Now, I don't know how the Greeks talk. At the 7:30 Mass, I said this word with an Italian accent, and it really sounded weird. But explesanto, there it goes again. I don't know what Greek sounds like. But the word there, he calls them out. That's the word that he used when he spoke the demon. He called it out. And he woke them up, and it struck them. They were astonished. That's the word for astonished. Explesanto. We know the exit. I'm looking at an exit sign right now. Usually EX means out of. And we have three EX words in Mark, in this gospel we just heard. And Jesus, in that, is doing a wonderful work. It strikes them. They come out of themselves a bit in hearing him. We hear that this authority that he speaks with, that's another EX word, exousia, out of his own substance. So this is a guy who's not just telling them what his teacher told, you know? Jesus isn't just a mouthpiece for the latest, you know, craze of Jewish thinking. Jesus is not just like Googling and speaking what Siri says. He's speaking out of his substance with an authority, and it's so appealing. It's so attractive. It actually does something within them, and they notice it. And in noticing it, the crowd, I mean, they don't exactly go wild, but kind of. This one particular day was written in Scripture. It was remembered. Do you remember when he came into our synagogue? Did you see what happened? That guy who comes every week, the guy that we know, who's a little out of his mind? Man, he was called out. And what happened with the crowd? Fame. Jesus' fame, we're told, begins to grow. What happened with the scribes? In fact, ooh, who's this guy? This ain't his church. Jealousy. You know, in another chapter, they're ready to kill him. And the crowd did kill Jesus. But what else could happen? Might this calling out be really just setting these people up for something deeper? Maybe for a thoughtfulness. Maybe for communion. Or friendship. Or life. Jesus is not just speaking into a void. He's speaking to persons. And persons who hear the word of God have the remarkable ability to respond to that word. The remarkable ability to be called out. Why? So as to engage that word a little fully, more fully. We saw it with Andrew, Peter, James, and John. They drop their nets and they follow them. And we will see it unfold throughout this gospel. Jesus is clearly someone to be heard. And his word is not just different. His word does something. It invites. It calls out. Today, actually, is the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, right? He was not just a priest, but he was also, like, one of, like, the smartest people, like, big theologian. Lots of our writing of Western civilization come from Thomas Aquinas. And yet, he was more than just a theologian, more than just a mouthpiece. He was a friend of God. In fact, he's a saint. And he himself knew that friendship of God. And he was proud and he was so happy to use his brains to tell people about God, to live that friendship in a fuller way. Because it's the Feast of Thomas Aquinas, oftentimes this week is dedicated, it still is, to Catholic Schools Week. And we salute teachers and parents who really give a lot to teach Catholic education. Here, of course, we don't have a school, but we have a religious ed program. I think, Maria, what is there, 134? 165 in our religious ed. Three of our teachers who are here today, we salute Matt, and then Matt and Debbie. They've been teaching for 5 years. We'll give them a blessing after Mass. The word educate, there's another EX word, not in English, but in the Latin, to lead out, ducere ex, to lead out, to educate. And my friends, it begins. God's word, chapter 1 of Mark, is calling us out. It has something to say, and it has a direction and a content to be shared. And you and I who hear the word are meant to respond, not just as a crowd, but as individuals, to hear that word of God, to be in a relationship with that word, so as to be led and fed, so as to become the people that he wills us to be. I just want to close with a prayer of Thomas Aquinas. And he not only wrote this prayer, but he prayed it. And he prayed it before he would receive the Eucharist. And I suppose that was every day. And as some of us here find ourselves ready or not, I suppose, to receive the Eucharist, this prayer might not be a bad thing to hear. It might not be a bad prayer to pray on this Feast of St. Thomas. And so I pray it aloud. Almighty and eternal God, behold, I come to the sacrament of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus. As one sick, I come to the physician of life. Unclean to the fountain of mercy, blind to the light of eternal splendor, poor and needy to the Lord of heaven and earth. Therefore, I beg you through your infinite mercy and generosity, heal my weakness, wash my uncleanness, give light to my blindness, enrich my poverty, and clothe my nakedness. May I thus receive the bread of angels, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, with such reverence and humility, contrition and devotion, purity and faith, purpose and intention, as shall aid my soul's salvation. Grant, I beg you, that I may receive not only the sacrament of your body and blood of our Lord, but also its full grace and power. Give me the grace, most merciful God, to receive the body of your only Son, born of the Virgin, in such a manner that I may deserve to be intimately united with his mystical body and to be numbered among all his members. Most merciful Father, grant that I may behold for all eternity, face to face, your beloved Son, whom now in my pilgrimage I am about to receive under sacramental veil, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, world without end. My friends, the authority of God is so beautiful, and it has power not only to call us out, but to heal in us what needs healing. I invite you today to trust that authority of God. Sit with Matthew 1, verse 21 and following, and with new grace, follow him. Many years ago, Paul VI said, "The world today doesn't listen to teachers, but if those that do listen to teachers do so because they're witnesses." I think they were really prophetic words in a day when AI can teach theology, probably better than me. When Google and Siri are teaching so many things, it takes a witness to communicate faith. And I'm so grateful for Matt and Debbie for their presence here every week at Sunday Mass with their families, because that's witness. And that's something so much more than just words. Today, as we've witnessed this event in the synagogue of Capernaum, let us take it to heart and take great heart in God with us.